Welcome to the Lucius Lyron Podcast, where we dive deep into the mysteries of the universe and our place in it. I am your host, Lucius Lyron, and today we're embarking on a profound journey together, exploring the vast landscape of mental health and the powerful healing that can come from spiritual practices, self-love, and nurturing our bodies with what they... Before we dive in, I want to remind everyone that while we discuss these practices and share insights, seeking therapy for mental health issues is good as it complements what I will be speaking on today. But with me being a natural healer, I want to give a grounded mystic perspective on how to heal without healthcare professionals. So, let's dive into understanding what mental health is. Mental health, it's not just the absence of mental illness, but a state of well-being where we realize our own abilities can cope with the normal stresses of life, work, school, and contribute to our community. But for many of us, challenges like anxiety, depression, and stress can seem like obstacles. And sadly, the stigma around discussing these issues only makes them harder to overcome. Recognizing the problem is the first step on our path to healing. It's okay to not be okay. And acknowledging that is where the healing begins. And that is very true. Because for me growing up, I was told that you have to deal with things and you can't really truly have any like upset feelings and all this weird kind of stuff that I feel like the majority of us probably grew up on when it comes to mental health. You know, like this was something that was not spoken during the 90s. Most of us, especially us like millennials, we grew up in the 90s, early 2000s, and, you know, mental health was something that was just not taught to us growing up. And I love the fact that it is truly okay to not be okay. And there is a lot of stigma in many communities. And with me growing up in the Black community and just having parents who didn't really deal with their own mental health issues, for me being an adult and being on my own personal healing journey, I've really learned a lot about mental health and didn't realize a lot of my own mental health issues that I had growing up and, you know, trying to cope with it and thinking that there was something sinful I was doing because I grew up in a very strict religious household and anything like this had to be because of sin or the devil or something. I'm being attacked by demons. When truly it has nothing to do with any of that. So I'm just wanting to encourage people to really be aware of your mental health. Because with life and the way prices are going up with food and rent and gas and then dealing with stresses of work or school, it's all contributing factors to our well state of being. And it's just really important to be aware of that more than ever now, you know, because I know some people that you do have some people that take advantage of claiming mental health and making it be like an excuse to why they do some of the fuckery that they do. But that's people that do that. It's really making mental health issues look bad, because it's like, okay, you can't use that excuse, because if you're not doing anything to make yourself be a better version of yourself and just want to claim, oh, it's just my mental health, so let me, you know, just get a bunch of prescription pills, and just it being my excuse for why I'm choosing to be a jackass. No, that's not a good excuse. And I don't like when people do that. And I see a lot of that. Because then we end up having people in our society that think that mental health is a joke because of people who's been abusing the word and wanting to use that word, like I said, for their own benefit when it comes to reasons why they're being a jackass. And that's not cool. It really isn't, because there are people that are really, really need to get a hold of their mental health. And we're going to dive into not only just different practices, but also one of the things that I don't hear a lot of people talk about is when it comes to nutrition and diet. And so we're going to get into that a little bit later in this episode. But I just wanted to basically put down a very grounded foundation on mental health and what it is, because there are people that don't know what mental health is. And I think that it's some kind of trending topic, or and it's not. There's a lot of things that I see on social media that people talk about, and they make it seem so trendy. And it's like, there is just a lot of things that should not be a trend. Mental health is not a trend. It really isn't. And until we start to be mature and really address things in a adult fashion, like we should, then we'll step away from all this goofy ass trend stuff that I see on social media, because mental health is definitely not a trend. Just like how certain spiritual practices, people make it like trendy and stuff. And I just find it just very silly and immature. And I see a lot of adults still having a high schooler mentality, which is sad for millennials. Really is. So we need to get that shit together. Okay. So now let's talk about the role of meditation in healing, especially with healing mental health issues. Meditation has been a cornerstone of spiritual practices for centuries, offering a quiet moment in our hectic lives to reconnect with ourselves. Whether you're drawn to mindfulness, which teaches us to be present, or prefer the structured approach of transcendent meditation, the benefits are undeniable. Science backs this up, showing how meditation can reduce stress, improve our concentration, and even alter the very structure of our brains for the better. Incorporating meditation into our daily routine doesn't have to be daunting. Start with just 5 minutes a day, and you'll soon find those moments of peace are something you cannot do without. I find personally guided meditations to be the most helpful as you progress in your meditation journey. When I first started out in meditation, I started out with guided Kundalini meditation. Now, I will say, you have to pretty much be called or have some kind of pull when it comes to Kundalini meditation. Kundalini meditation is a very, I feel, advanced meditation. And it was something that I was called to, because looking back on, I'm like, wow, the universe really pushed me into really diving in head first on meditating. And, you know, I don't know if any of you guys are familiar with Kundalini meditation, but it is very strong, powerful energy that you are trying to adjust to and adapt to. But I do feel that doing meditations that, and this is just for like people that are trying to get into the routine of doing meditations, I feel like there are some really good 5 minute, 10 minute guided chakra meditations that you can do. As a matter of fact, I'm actually going to eventually make a post about this, but I had the opportunity to check out Little John's meditation album. And let me just say, I was surprised how good this meditation was. So shocked, because I grew up listening to Little John, especially being in high school. And, you know, it's so funny because I'm like, wow, Little John had me turned up during my high school years, going to the clubs. And, you know, Little John was popping in the early like 2000s and everything. And then now I'm in this whole like relaxed, calm, meditative state. I'm like, wow, like, I'm like, Little John has a real, very good calming voice. Like, it's so crazy. He's such a dynamic person. Shout out to Little John for being you and being such a dynamic individual, because I love that you show your dual side of being hype and get you hyped up on the hip hop side, but then be a very grounded, mystic person and learning how to calm the mind and heal from meditation. So if you guys haven't checked it out, it's available on all streaming platforms. So I definitely will check out Little John's meditation. It's really good. And when I do make my social media posts, I will be posting my top five meditation, because he has 11, which I felt was very significant to have the number 11. Because if you study spirituality, when it comes to like numerology and stuff, you'll understand the significance of 11. So the fact that he had 11 meditations on there, I think he knew what he was doing. So, so you should definitely check it out if you haven't. But yeah, meditation is good. You know, to me, I feel like just like how you brush your teeth or how you would, you know, take your vitamins, meditation should definitely be a routine that you should put into your daily practice. I feel that if I learned meditation when I was a kid, oh my goodness, Mike, I probably would be able to be levitating stuff right now. I'll be on my Star Wars shit, you know, just levitating books and bringing them over to me. And yeah, I love seeing when I was in my meditation group and some of the people that were coming to the group had kids, and their kids were super spiritual. And to see kids meditate, it's amazing to me. I just sit back and I'm like, oh man, you're going to be such a powerful adult. Like, you're just going to be just super, so advanced. And so I encourage all spiritual people, if your parents, man, get your kids to meditate, because if you get them to do it while they're young, man, they're going to be so super advanced by the time they become adults, because they're going to understand the power of the brain and the power of the mind, and learn how to really heal yourself from meditating and coping with life. So it's a really good practice. And like I said, I just encourage parents to teach their kids about it, because if you're doing it, then, you know, your offspring should be encouraged to do it as well. Because it's not, to me, I feel like meditation is not just a thing that is only just for conscious people, or, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think that I feel meditation is truly for everyone. And the more we make it a routine in our lives, the more we'll start to see a lot of manifestations and just health benefits that come from that. So, because yeah, that's, you know, meditation is a part of wellness. It's a part of dealing with certain mental health issues. So I encourage everyone to do that. All right. So let's talk about how we can cultivate self-love for mental wellness. At the heart of our well-being is self-love. It's a concept that's simply in theory, but challenging in practice, especially when we're bombarded with messages telling us we're not enough. Breaking down these barriers starts with changing the narrative from criticism to compassion. Start your day with affirmations that celebrate your strengths. Embrace self-care routines that make you feel rejuvenated. And most importantly, set boundaries that protect your energy. Self-love isn't selfish. It's the foundation upon which we build our mental resilience. And that is very true. I hear a lot of people talk about if you have self-love, then that's a selfish act. No, it's not. Self-love is not about being selfish, okay? It's definitely not. Self-love has to do with you learning how you want to be loved. Because in order for people to understand how to even love you as a person, you have to understand how you love yourself. Okay? Because when you do that, then that energy it comes out of you. It radiates out of you. Good Lord. I don't know why I was so tongue-tied on that. It radiates out of you. So you are putting that energy out into the universe. Because, you know, we all know, especially when it comes to science, that we have what's known as cause and effect. And so the cause is you giving yourself self-love, self-care, rejuvenating yourself, and giving yourself mantras and affirmations that you say on a daily basis. You don't think that the universe is not going to respond to the energy that you're putting out. So of course, you're going to start to attract certain people that's going to vibe off of the energy that you are radiating out. And this is a real thing. It's a real phenomenon. It really is. And we just have to start to be more consciously aware of doing more self-love practices, because it goes beyond just what we see on social media and what certain people may say. It's a practice of celebrating you, because I feel like our society is so dependent on trying to be celebrated by other people. And we don't need that validation. The only validation we need is from ourselves. Okay? Why? Because we are the only ones that are experiencing our own journey in life. Nobody else is. So then therefore, you have to treat yourself as the main actor in your own movie. And then everybody else around you is either supporting actors or a co-star. Okay? Co-star can be your partner or a lover or whatever. Your best friend can be a co-star. So we have co-stars and we have supporting people around us. But you have to treat yourself like a star. Okay? We come from the stars, therefore treat yourself like a star. You have to. Because the more that you give yourself that royal treatment, the more others will give that same treatment back to you, because you put up this energy of, this is how I want to be treated. You know, I don't believe that you have to say anything at all. because we are all sensitive to energy, whether people realize it or not. We're all sensitive to energy. And I feel like you become even more sensitive when you become more aware of the fact that energy is everything. And you start to understand like, oh man, like I feel all types of energy. A lot of people who are empaths, you know what I'm talking about. You know, we have to protect our energy as well by setting boundaries and stuff. So, you know, because if you don't do that for yourself, then nobody's not going to do that for you. Nobody isn't. But you have to do that for yourself. And it's very important to set up certain boundaries. Because if not, then you would just allow anyone to just say and do whatever to you. And that's not good. I feel like we've had enough of that growing up. You know, most millennials know what I'm talking about. Growing up, we were not taught about boundaries and learning how to protect your energy. And we didn't grow up with that at all. So, you know, I really feel like any millennials listening to this podcast, we are going to be the ones to really change the world for the better. We really are. And the reason why is because we have so much experience from what was not okay that happened in our lives to now finding peace and healing with the awareness of where we're at today that the other generations just don't really have. Now, I will say that Generation X, they're kind of on the fence in regards to some of them are doing some of these practices and understanding like there were certain things even for them that was just not okay as well. So I would say definitely like millennials and Generation X will be the major game changers, you know, heading into the future, because we have to protect and educate Gen Z because we have more of a grounded way and we just have more experience than they do. They, you know, Gen Z has come up in this whole era of technology where we were the pioneers. We were the first ones to experience how it was from not having technology to having the technology that we have today. So, you know, we can give more of a balanced way of life that Gen Z will never know about. They just won't ever know about. And that's totally fine. But we do need to be the better examples for them and stuff because, you know, I love Gen Z. I think that they are very aware individuals and they're very smart, but I know that they also need to have mentors and guidance, and we just have to be that for them. So I just encourage both millennials and Generation X to step up to the plate. You know, but most of us are doing it, but, you know, it needs to be more of us. So just wanting to speak that out into existence. All right, let's get into one of my favorite things right here, and that is nourishing the body to heal the mind. This is a big one for me. This one I have really been learning about recently over the past couple of years about the importance of nourishment. And I can tell you that I didn't realize how important gut health is and how gut health is also attached to mental health as well. I did not know that. Like, your gut is pretty much your second brain, but we'll get into that here in a minute. So our mental health is linked to our physical well-being. The foods we eat, the water we drink, and the movement we engage in all play critical roles in how we feel on the inside. A balanced diet rich in fruits, vegetables, probiotics, and alkaline water can improve our mood and energy levels. And while the idea of exercise might feel daunting, finding activities you love, be it walking, dancing, yoga, going to the gym, can make a world of difference. Remember, it's about making small, sustainable changes that honor your body and mind. And this is something that is so critical for all of us. We all have to do this. Okay? We all have to do it. Because that's the other thing with Gen Z too, is that a lot of them, they don't do all this. A lot of people that are Gen Z are too busy playing Fortnite and video games. And you millennial parents, you know what I'm talking about. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Okay? It's good to be active. And that was something, you know, those of us that are millennials and Gen X, you know, we played outside. You know, you remember the days where as soon as the street light pops on, that was time for you to bring that ass home. You know what I'm talking about. We had to come home whenever the street lights came on. Okay. You remember back in the 90s, the news used to be like, it's 10 o'clock. Do you know where your children are? Hell no. I'm outside still playing, son. It's summertime. We all did it, right? Especially in the summer months when we had no school. So activity, being active, going on hikes, so important. Food. Like, stop eating McDonald's. Stop eating all this fast food stuff. Okay? It's not good. You know, more fruits and vegetables is important. And if you're going to eat meat, make sure it's grass-fed. If you're going to have any meat, make sure it's grass-fed. I will say check out a company called ButcherBox. All their stuff is either grass-fed, or it's wild caught when it comes to the fish, like salmon and stuff. Don't get farm-raised stuff. Not good if you're going to eat meat. But yeah, you know, this is all part of having a healthier, balanced diet. It's really important because the older generation, they grew up on a lot of like whole foods. So, you know, they didn't have like all the fast food stuff that we have today. And so I personally starting to feel that a lot of our mental health issues actually really stems from all the fast food that we ate during the 90s and early 2000s. I really do. Because, you know, we didn't have, you know, vegan and a whole lot of vegetarian options during the whole time frame. And then our parents really wasn't like really aware of a lot of that. Now, you do have some people who, I guess, at the time, people would say would be more of like hippies that knew about the importance of eating like fruits and vegetables and stuff and drinking good water that has a high, you know, pH level and making your body more alkaline than acidic. Because, you know, having a acidic body causes so much health issues that we don't even realize, you know, because growing up, did they teach us this in health class? Like, I want somebody to tell me, what was the purpose and the point of having health class? Because the stuff I'm talking about right now, they didn't teach us none of this stuff. Any of it, you know? And it's so funny because growing up, my parents would tell me that, oh, you know, school is to help you in life. Oh, okay. Well, I feel like the only thing school did for me was help me learn how to be sociable. I learned how to be sociable. That's it. Everything that I'm doing today, I did not learn in school. I didn't learn any of these practices in school. So, and wrong again. No, I didn't learn none of this stuff. Like, like I said, just over the past couple of years, I just learned about how important gut health is and how important it is to take probiotics. Like, I was not taking probiotics. And what's so crazy is when you get sick, you get on these antibiotics that kill off all the good bacteria in your body, which causes a whole bunch of, I could be butchering this word, but I think it's candida, which is like yeast. And you can tell that the body has a lot of it, especially if like you look at your tongue and your tongue is like really like white and stuff. You could tell that, you know, you may need to clear out, you know, that out your system and stuff, which there's plenty of like herbal supplements you can take to do that. But yeah, instead of after taking an antibiotic, instead of saying, you know, jump back into taking your a really good probiotic, because you do have probiotics that are meant for like women because it helps with, you know, their pH levels and stuff. And then you have probiotics that are also for men too as well. So I feel like everyone should take whatever probiotic that is going to be the best for their body system versus just taking a generic one, because it probably won't work for you if you do just a basic generic probiotic. But instead of saying that, then it's like when I was growing up, I was told to eat yogurt. To eat yogurt, let me tell you something. Yogurt does not have enough probiotics for the gut. It does not. And I just, when I learned this, I'm going to be very honest with you guys. I was very irritated with that and just felt like I was just told things growing up by a bunch of idiots. But I can be real blunt with you today. I felt like everybody that told me all the things were just a bunch of idiots that didn't even know nothing themselves, that didn't know anything themselves. And I have a problem with people acting like they know something when they don't. That is a huge red flag for me. And I feel that it's probably even one of my pet peeves now. Like, stop pretending like you know something. Because if not, a person like me, I will call your ass out and be like, oh, stop right there. You don't know what you're talking about. You over here telling me something that you read from some textbook that's outdated, from some other idiot source that's outdated. You know, like, stop telling me all the outdated stuff. Because if you haven't personally experienced these things, I don't want to hear it. I really don't. And that's just where I'm at in life. I'm tired of hearing all the outdated stuff. I want to hear the real things. Tell me the facts. You know, because we cannot get better by regurgitating outdated information. Just like the Bible's so damn outdated, it has nothing to do with right now. Zero. Zero things to do with right now. And yet here we are being told this outdated information that ain't got nothing to do with 2024. It just doesn't. So it's the same thing with things that we've been taught throughout, you know, 70s, 80s, 90s, early 2000s, all trash. All of it's been trash. And so now we just have to re-educate ourselves. And this is why, you know, forever learning is important. Because for me, learning doesn't stop because I'm not going to school. Ever since I've been a kid, I've always picked up a book and read. Why? Because that was me having the passion to constantly be in a learning state of mind. I'm always learning every day. And people are like, man, you seem so resourceful with a whole lot of information. Yeah, because I read. I don't read what Google puts out. I don't. I actually go to libraries and actually read books from people who either have had experience in the topic that they're talking about, or they're archaeologists or whatever. Like, I like to read. That's what I enjoy doing. Because the moment you want to stop reading is the moment that you just really dumb down yourself. You really do. You know, we don't realize how great of a brain exercise reading is. It's an exercise. And you're just going to stop your brain from exercising. And then you do that, you just start to just dumb down more and more and more and more. You know, me learning about words and the meaning of words and understanding, you know, what people want to say, well, how do you know this particular big word? Because I read it. You know, education doesn't stop after high school. It doesn't stop after college. You got to constantly keep updating yourself. Russ, you're just going to sound old and outdated. And I refuse to be old and outdated. Absolutely not. All right. So let's jump into integrating practices and building a healing routine. Healing is a journey, not a destination. As we wrap up today's episode, I encourage you to take these insights and weave them into your daily life. Find a meditation practice that speaks to you. Cultivate self-love in your quiet moments and nourish your body with kindness. Remember, consistency is key. It's the small steps taken every day that lead to profound changes over time. You guys, really, really take that to heart. Please do, because life is a journey. There is no destination in life. And we've been told the lies of your destination in life is either heaven or hell. Heaven or hell is what you experience in life. You're either going to experience a lot of hell in your life, or you can experience a lot of divinity and, you know, heaven in your life. It's all dependent on the choices that you make. But there is no final destination, because life is forever going. Life is a forever journey that never ends. And that's a beautiful thing to know. Life never ends. So even when you pass on from your physical body, you are still continuing life, just not in the physical body that you were in. You get what I'm saying? That's why I tell people, when it comes to the soul or spirit, understand that spirit soul is part of the five elements. The five elements are physical. Therefore, the soul, the spirit, is in physical form, and it's in the physical form of air. Did most of you guys knew that? Did you know that part? It's part of air. And when you go and you look up ancient words, Aramaic or Phoenician, you come to find out how spirit, or some people will say in Hebrew, ruach, it's all synonymous with the word air. It's all the same. And even though we can't see air, we can feel it. But now that I'm actually saying this, the only way we can see air is when air moves the leaves on the tree or moves a piece of paper on the table. So isn't that the same when people say that they experience spirits or ghosts and objects move? Well, doesn't air do the same thing? Doesn't wind do that? I'm going to make you guys think, man. I'm going to have you guys thinking. Well, thank you for joining me on the Lucius Lyron podcast. If you found value in today's episode, please share it with friends, family, and don't forget to subscribe for more content like this. For more resources, you may check out my website at hotrs13.org. Once again, that's hotrs13.org. Until next time, keep making those small changes and watch how they add up to a transformed life. I want you to stay inspired and keep growing. Join me again next time for more discussions on life, astrology, love, science, and spirituality with its connection to our daily lives. And remember to always live in power.